Good evening. Felt a little bit wrong just kind of briefly going through Acts chapter 14. So I kind of wanted to return back there tonight. So if you would, turn over with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and again, I bring us to this scene where Paul in the city of Lystra heals a man. And in turn for it, the people of this city believe him and Barnabas, who is with him, to be gods, and they are ready to sacrifice for them. But some of the Jews that had been against Paul in previous cities, in Iconium and Antioch, they come over and they stir the crowds against them to the point that they stone him. And it says in verse 19 of chapter 14, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and he entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe, and after that they preached the gospel to that city, and they made many disciples. And then they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. And I just, when I read this, it's such an amazing thing to read about someone who was stoned to the point that he was almost dead, and then getting up and going back to doing what he was doing that got him stoned. That's such an amazing real account of a man who really did this. And I was thinking about this, and it feels like just there are days and periods and times in life. Even I feel like I've experienced this, not having lived a whole lot of life yet, but there are times where it just feels like trials, struggles, temptations, whatever the case may be, they just come one after another. Seems like they just keep coming and coming, almost like you are being pelted with rocks. And it knocks you down to the ground, and you know, you don't really feel like getting up, and it's hard to get up. There are times where we may feel that way, and it may even extend into our spiritual life. And I would say that a lot of times it's these things, even just the trials that we go through every day, that can have the biggest toll on our spiritual life. And it doesn't have to be big things. It could be small things. There are days where feels like a small thing after another small thing after another small thing happens, and then once you get to the end of the day, I don't know, you sit down for a cup of coffee and realize that there's no coffee in the house, and it's devastating. And it seems like a silly example, but I mean, it seems like there are times like this that can put the biggest strain on us. It's not just the big rocks. The big trials, the big temptations that knock us down and keep us from getting up, although those are the ones that hurt the most, sometimes even just the small things can drive us away. I mean, even just the small things can drive us away. If we don't have endurance, if we don't have fortitude, even these small things can drive us away from our faith. But we look at Paul, who really, literally got stoned almost to the point of death, and he didn't. He got back up, and he went back to doing what he was doing. He went back to serving God. And again, there's a lot of, I think to the people who watched him, maybe the people that were a part of the crowds that stoned him. I mean, if you look at Paul getting up and going back at it, I don't know, I'd look at Paul and maybe if I lived back in that time, I might think he's crazy. What are you doing? Isn't that kind of the definition of insanity, is just going back and doing what has hurt you so bad? But he doesn't. And I don't, we know, looking back at Paul, that he was not crazy. Paul was a very sane man. We know of his education. He is a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in that city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers. Brother Guy brought up this morning in class, Romans reads like a very persuasive and strongly argumented theological letter, and all of his letters do. He's a very smart, sane man. He's not crazy to go back and do what he was doing before. So what then? Did a really big rock hit him in the head and kind of knocked some things loose, and that's why he got up and did it again? No. Did not hit him hard enough to get up and not only go through and strengthen the disciples, but to tell them plainly why he was doing this. In verse 22, they went through strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I look at Paul and I don't think of somebody who's crazy, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. I look at Paul and I firmly believe that he is a man who believes what he said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day. And we look at Paul, we look at the actions that he took. That is the actions of not a crazy man, but a man who believes that Jesus is able to entrust what he has guarded to him, his life. I thought of the story of Christopher Columbus. He was a Italian wool comber turned map maker and voyager. And he had this crazy idea that he was going to sail west across the Atlantic Ocean, what they called the Sea of Darkness, and get basically to the other side of the world. And he had this idea, and based off of the thinking that was just coming up at the time, that the world was round, and he went to the royalty of Portugal, asking for some funding so that he can do this for them. And they told him that he's crazy, basically. He moved on, and he went to Spain and talked with Queen Isabella and Ferdinand, and they sent him away multiple times telling him that he was crazy, to the point that they kicked him out. And there's a story that says that even the kids in the street would run by him pointing at their heads, telling him that he was crazy. I think about him, and I think about when he finally set sail and came to a new land. I don't think that he seemed very crazy then. Do you? Maybe we feel like we are crazy. Maybe we feel like when we keep getting knocked down and keep coming back to our faith, you know, maybe we look at our lives and say, man, I'm a Christian. This shouldn't be happening to me. And we keep getting up. Maybe we start thinking that we're crazy. Maybe we have people by us that think that we're crazy. Maybe we have people in our lives that are kind of like Job's wife in chapter 2 and verse 9 of Job. Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. This isn't really my point, but I will bring out what he said to her. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? I do firmly believe, and I pray that you do with me, I pray that I know that there is going to be another side of time. There is going to be a time at the end of all of this where on one side you're going to have those that appeared to be crazy but held on, and then you're going to have those that thought that they were crazy, that thought that we were crazy. But in the end, we were not crazy. We were just holding on. We were convinced that Jesus was able to entrust, that we were able to entrust our lives to him, and we received that on that day. We're not crazy, and we won't be crazy in that day. And although it won't be a last laugh moment, we won't be looking at those that are lost and be in celebration over them. But I mean, we will be in celebration of the life that we've received, and we are not crazy for holding on to that. But there's this war that goes on between us, so these competing things that go on between us, because we have kind of a natural instinct, and then we have kind of the instinct that we were brought up on. We have the instinct of an avoidance of pain. You know, if you touch the stove, it's going to burn you, and you're not going to do that again. We have that in us. We've touched enough stoves in our lives or done stuff that we weren't supposed to do, where we don't want to do that again. And then we have the try again that we were brought up to believe, that we were taught. So what's true? I mean, you look at Paul. He's suffering a lot of pain. He's being stoned to death. You know, you might look at it like he's touching the stove. Why does he get up and do that again? Whenever we face trial, when we keep getting hurt, when we keep getting knocked down, are we just wasting our time by getting up again? Well, let's think about this. Again, we have the instinct to, you know, shy away from the things that cause us pain, and then we have the try again. Well, there's a third thing that we see in our lives that I think answers the question for us, and that's we see that it's the effort that gets reward. It is effort that gets rewarded. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, it's the hard-working farmer that ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. It takes very, very minimal effort to touch a stove and burn yourself. But it takes a lot of effort to fail or be knocked down and to get up and to try again. It doesn't take very... if you go through a bad crop year and you don't have anything come up or gets hailed out or whatever it may be, it takes almost no effort to just decide not to plant anything, not to put anything into the ground. It takes a whole lot of effort to put seed into the ground and try again for another year. And it's the farmers that do that gets the crop the next year. Effort gets reward. We look at Paul and say, well, he got stoned. That didn't take a whole lot of effort on his part, but it did. It took effort to go into these cities and to preach and to teach and to proclaim the gospel. It took effort. And it took effort for Paul to get up and to go back again. And it will take very minimal effort for me when I keep getting, when I keep going through trial and when I keep going through setbacks to walk away. But it takes a lot of effort to keep pushing through. And it's the effort that gets the reward. That's what Paul is pointing out in verse 22. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when we read that, you know, it kind of, you get a little scared. Your hair starts standing up. Like, okay, what tribulations am I going to go through the kingdom? And I guess with that, I'm going to give kind of one, an encouragement, and also kind of a warning. It's not just the things that we think that are tribulations. It's not just the pain and the suffering or the persecution that's tribulations. Can prosperity be times of tribulation? Can good times, in a way, be times of tribulation? Can they be times that are maybe not good for our faith, that cause us to turn away from God? I think there are plenty of people that through good times, through times of extra whatever it is, extra goods or extra money, have turned away from God because they've trusted in themselves. We see this at the end of, or in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul tells Timothy, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. And James talks about this as well. I thought about Jacob. Jacob was a man who, I really think, excelled through a time of prosperity. A time that may have been tribulation may have caused him to trust in his own strength and not in God. Remember when he was with Laban in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 43, he became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. But even through this, even in this time of prosperity where he may start to trust in himself, he says in Genesis 32 and 10, I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant, for with my staff only I crossed this Jordan. And now I have become two companies. He gives credit where credit is due. He gives credit to God. Now Jacob is kind of an example of both, because he not only went, you know, what I would call you know, kind of a tribulation and prosperity, but he also went through some pretty difficult times. He lost his wife, Rachel, giving birth to their son, Benjamin. He lost Joseph for a period of time, thought he was dead as well. I think Jacob is a fine example that there is, you know, both kinds of tribulations that we can face. Maybe, you know, there are always going to be tribulations, I guess is the point that I'm trying to make. And probably, I think, both. But if we feel like, you know, whenever we face these tribulations, if we feel like, you know, why should we even keep going? These tribulations didn't happen to Jacob because he was a servant of God. The thing we have to remember is if we face the rocks, if we face the stoning, and then decide we're going to turn away, where are we going to turn away to? No matter what we believe in this life, we are going to go through tribulation. Paul got stoned for proclaiming the gospel. That's true. There is persecution that arises because of what we believe. That's true. I don't think that Paul was the only person who was stoned in this world, and I think that there were probably people that did not believe in Christ who were stoned as well. In Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is talking about the houses that are laid on the foundation, it's not just the house that was laid on the correct foundation that got hit with the winds and the rain. Both houses did. There was a difference between the houses, though, is one was founded on the right foundation, and it stood. And the house that wasn't, didn't. But both faced tribulation. All face tribulation. It doesn't matter what you believe in. There are people that have terrible lives. And it's made even worse because they don't yet, and I say yet, because we can be the difference of that, they don't yet have the foundation to stand on. Everybody faces tribulation, but I'll point out again in verse 22, through many tribulations we must enter. Go through. Everybody faces tribulation, but not everybody is going to go through them. Not everybody is going to enter through them. There are going to be some that face tribulation and they decide that's it and give up. But with Jesus, our foundation, whom we believe in, our Christ, we have the foundation to not only face tribulation, but to stand in it, to go through it, and to enter in to the kingdom. And really, talking about this just makes me appreciate Jesus so much more, because he took on flesh and took the brunt, all of mankind's sin and tribulation, just to ensure that, you know, as much struggle as we go through right now, we have something to look forward to at the end of it. Praise Jesus. If you need any prayers of the congregation, if you need to be baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ, please do that tonight while we stand and as we sing.